Here's a fun dilemma. We could talk for an hour on this subject. In science as well, the implication of double standards occurs. You can ask a scientist whether they believe that matter is either created or destroyed between the forms. And yet when you say there is a God, they ask how can something live forever, it has no beginning, no creation, and no end. So it's true enough that the friend sitting back here has the experience in the Soviet Union. Asking people, so what is the origin of all things, and the time they stop and say that matter has always been here. We don't need to go a step back. When a religious person says, no, there was God before there was matter, then they say, oh, how could there be something that didn't have any beginning? Well, that's what they said. It didn't matter. It had any beginning. They do run into a problem now that even the most fundamental building blocks of matter are now found to have a half-life. The matter isn't eternal. It's decaying. This is a remaining change to life. The proton decays. And the half-life of 30 billion years with believers is incredibly long time, but it is decaying, which means it can't have been eternal for it. It would have decayed, and it didn't. It didn't finish decaying. But this brings about to mind a topic that you have to be careful about. Just what sort of a God do you believe in when you talk to people, friends of the community. And the Christian understanding of God is really a very primitive thing. I told you the Bible says you can hold down with a white beard. And so on. It says that when he made the heavens and the earth, that it took him 6 days and he rested because of why not? Well, in Islam, there is a very much more noble picture. What is God? When God is called a creator in Islam, he's a creator in kind of the same sense that you might say Frank Lloyd Wright is he's a builder. Frank Lloyd Wright designed buildings, but he never picked up a hammer. But they say, who built that building? Frank Lloyd Wright. And nobody ever saw him go out there and put the bricks together, but he's responsible. But his plan, was his command, that put it in order, however it took shape. And this is the same as what the Quran says. That when it comes right down to the details, how is it that things come to be? It simply says, Allah says, be, and it is. It doesn't say, he rolls up his sleeves, and he gets in, and he does this thing. It's far removed from this kind of thing. He is directly, and at the same time, indirectly responsible for things. There's no part of the scheme of things that we know. There are three arguments for the existence of God that people use. And they're the only three that exist, and all three of them are faulty, because they all three put God in the scheme of things. They call the ontological, cosmological, teleological argument. They all try to say there are all kinds of things. One of the things is God, and then establish its existence. And the point is not that it's God that is responsible for all things. He's not a thing. This is something unknowable outside of any kind of experience. My wife is studying anthropology. She kind of showed me interesting things about a group recently discovered in New Guinea. Isolated group of beings. Now, in Islam, they believe every group has their prophet. When you read what these people believe, you know that a prophet came to them. Because their religion grants a God who is invisible and is responsible for all things, does not have offspring, does not have a shape or a form, he doesn't occupy a place, and he's older than time, he's not old, and so on. It's completely Islamic point of view. They try to call it Kakalku, and they gave the name for this, what they call him Zubatami, which simply means the time, the most time. When the missionaries first came into the area, they tried to convert them. At Kapalku, this book records their response and the arguments they used to give to the priests, missionaries, and they're very hilarious because the people made sense. And it was the story of one man who was old and he knew he was going to die in a matter of days. So he had his grandsons force him, one under each arm, and take him into the village because he thought before he died he had to have a last word with the missionaries. And he asked the missionary, he said, you come from a civilization that is so advanced that you need fly overhead. You're so advanced. Why is the religion so primitive? Because these people, hanging on to the truth, never added to it and complicated and so on, and made more sense. the people running around dressed in jeans knew more philosophically than the missionaries that were trying to convert them. And you made this point. The Kapalpus say of God, it doesn't exist. And the missionaries said, well, it doesn't exist. They say, you worship him. It doesn't exist. He is responsible for all existence. Whatever he has, that's something else. It's not existence. When you say something exists, it means it occupies the place. It takes what's room, it's here. Or it means you can define it. You can describe it, only there it is. That's what you mean when it exists. That's not God. That's the world we live in. He's something outside of that. He's not growing old, and he didn't start from something and continue to exist as such. It's something else. It's a very fine point, but that's the difference in Islam and in Christianity. That's one big difference. That in Islam we say, well, we don't know what God is. All we know is he is outside of what we do know. Something very different.